know, taking the world's best club competition to a new venue in a new country in Bilbao in Spain is massive for the competition. It's huge for Spanish rugby.
I think it's great. I think it really shows the direction that professional rugby is going in. It's becoming much more of a global game, a global brand, and you know that can only be good for the game and get more younger people playing and enjoying it. And you know it's hugely important for, I suppose, the longevity of rugby and the direction it's going.
I think it's huge. I think the way club rugby's going is it's expanding cross-continent even. So, you know, it's great part of the great region down there. And if you put a game of rugby on there, then the hordes and all the numbers and all the supporters come out and support those games. You know, expansion of club rugby is ongoing and important, you know, to spread the love around the world.
Finals weekend 2018 sees the cream of European club rugby head to the Basque Country, including Leinster, who want to make it 9 wins out of 9 in the Champions Cup this season. They're in the final for the first time in 6 years after seeing off Scarlets.
This has been a very special semi-final performance. Nothing is won yet, but this Irish powerhouse will take some beating.
Leinster will face French opposition in the shape of Racing 92, whose 3 semi-final tries were created by the same dynamic duo.
Now Vaca Tower and now Teddy Thomas punching up the middle, striking out wide. Vaca Tower and Teddy Thomas once more. Oh, they only need half an inch. Vaca Tower, and it's opening up again, and again it's Thomas. Teddy Thomas, he is shredding Munster's defence right now.
You'll hear from Joe Rocafoco, Ken Owens, Wayne Pivak, Peter Omani, Johan van Graan and Leo Cullen as we look back on those semi-finals before Matt O'Connor talks Leinster, Cullen and the challenge of facing Racing. Plus, Stefan Armitage tells us about winning 3 Champions Cup titles with Toulon, and we'll also preview the Challenge Cup final.
Absolutely massive for Jared Evans. And he hits the hot spot that might just take Cardiff to Northern Spain.
Gloucester can print the tickets, book the flights. They're off to Bilbao. And they will be hunting a first trophy under Johan Ackerman.
Henry Trinder of Gloucester is on the programme, as is Cardiff Blues defence coach Richard Hodges. All of that to come on the EPCR European Rugby Show. Well, welcome to our finals weekend preview. It's James Burridge alongside ChampionsCupRugby.com's Emma Thurston and the sunburnt Tom May, once of Toulon, Northampton, Newcastle and England. You're looking beautifully red, Thomas.
Thanks very much.
Has it been a nice day in the sun, has it?
No comment. Okay.
Some of us have been inside looking at stats and things.
Yeah.
And you've got Bilbao to come. Lucky us. Guys, we're 20 teams down to 2. Tom, do we have the best 2?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look across a competition like this, when you see the 2 teams in the final, Leinster have been outstanding. They'll only be the second team to have won 9 matches in a competition like this. And you look at the way they've gone about their business in the Champions Cup, you'd have to say they're standout. Racing, I guess they started pretty tamely. I think they didn't really put any teams away. And actually in their domestic form and their European form, they've just started to ramp it up. And you really start to think that Racing are now getting an understanding of how they want to play and how they want to put teams away. So, yeah, I think we've got the 2 best teams.
Emma, Exeter, Montpellier, Saracens, Scarlets, they had no answer to Leinster. So why is it any different for Racing?
Potentially is not going to be, I think. I think Leinster, as Tom said, are clear favourites going into this. I think we can all admit that, having seen the competition to date. I think they've got to potentially try and catch them a bit cold. They've got to catch Leinster with too much emotion about putting that 4th star on their jersey, start strongly and see where it takes them from there.
And Johnny Sexton said this week, you've really got to try and shut out the noise, but it's incredibly difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I think when I was playing and you'd be in big stadiums and there's a lot going on in the stadium, but also in the preparation week, I used to try and use that to try and build up towards what was going to be a big performance from the team, you hope. I guess different players go about it very differently, and you know, you can't knock the way that Johnny Sexton must prepare for his games, because he seems to work all right, isn't it? you know, I think Leinster, with the likes of Fardy, Nathiwa, Sexton and Carney at fullback, they've got guys that really understand what it takes to win at this stage of the competition. And it'll be interesting to see how those experienced heads on in the Racing camp try and take this team to bits, because it's going to be difficult.
It's going to be extremely difficult. Emma, how can people keep in touch then during finals weekend?
All the way across social media, of course, on Twitter at Champions Cup for all of your thoughts around the Champions Cup final. And we're European Rugby Champions Cup on Facebook to leave your comments there. And then, of course, when it comes to the Challenge Cup, talk to us at ER Challenge Cup on Twitter and European Rugby Challenge Cup on Facebook. Lots of discussions about both finals, so we're looking forward to hearing from you.
Now, before we get into our big final preview, let's look back at the two Champions Cup semi-finals. The first, Leinster's 38-16 victory over the Scarlets. Tom, a short bit of analysis from you on that.
I think you found a team that really knew how they were going to take Scarlets apart. Everyone was talking about how Scarlets wanted to go out and try and run Leinster around, but actually, you know, they were buried before. You know, I think that Scarlets scoreline, I think, you know, that doesn't look as bad as it actually was. They were taken to the cleaners by Leinster.
Yeah, they were. Well, let's hear from the Leinster head coach, Leo Cullen. This is what he thought of their semi-final performance.
Yeah, I thought the players were pretty clinical in terms of taking opportunities when we got into the 22, coming away with points more often than not. So, you know, clearly when you score early and have a lead, it allows you to be able to manage the game and try and squeeze the opposition a little bit more. So we were always able to keep the game in the areas, the right areas of the field for us. You know, ultimately we're delighted, obviously, to get a win. We have a lot of respect for Scarlets in terms of, you know, what they've done in recent times, and, you know, but everyone's worked hard to get the team to this point. You know, the players in particular, all the backroom team. And yeah, now it's important that we just dust ourselves off now and get ourselves ready for a Bilbao.
Well, that's the view of the victors. Let's hear from Scarlets captain Ken Owens and first head coach Wayne Pivak.
They were the better side on the day. I think it was a mixture of how well they played and probably how well we didn't play. They did very well to look after the ball and contact. They had good speed of ball, which kept us on the back foot, and they were just getting that roll on. I think once they got into the 22, they were very clinical. The game of feet and inches, they won, and they put us under a lot of pressure. So they fully deserved to go through to the final.
They're probably one of the best sides around, or if not the best side, they're executing the game plan, I think. They went a little bit more direct, made sure they got quick ball, which just stopped our line speed then, which is a big strength of our game. And you know, I thought their kicking game was pretty good as well, and they probably won the aerial battle as well, which helped them get the territory and the possession.
You know, we've had a really good run to get to where we have done. Let's not forget that, you know, how we find ourselves in the top four in Europe. So we've made a lot of improvements and a lot of gains, but we've got to keep improving.
Ken Owens and Wayne Pivak there. Tom, just assess Scarlets' performance then in Europe. They surely have done better than they thought, but there's still going to be that feeling of disappointment, surely.
Yeah, I think they'll be disappointed, but I don't think they've done better than they thought they would do. I think they would have come off the back of that Pro 14 win last year and actually attack this competition and do well. So I think they'll probably be disappointed to lose to Leinster in the fashion that they did.
So what's the difference then? How do they need to step up next time?
I think they need more of a plan B. I think that, you know, that they've got a wide game, they've got an expansive game, they want to play at pace, which is great. But look what Bath did to them when it was horrendous conditions way back in the early rounds. Now that's an extreme, because there's not often you get conditions like that, but you have to understand how you play those percentages. And it was interesting, Cullen mentioned it there, the amount of times that they go into the 22 and they come away with points. That's what a lot of coaches say. You know, you get up there, when you get in that red zone, you come away with something. And that's probably what Scarlets need to find, a balance in between that expansive game and a bit more pragmatic.
To the other semi-final then, Racing 92's 27-22 victory over Munster in Bordeaux. We'll hear from Racing in a moment. Let's start with Munster. Here's head coach Johan van Graan and first skipper Peter O'Mahony's analysis.
We struggled the first 30, 35 minutes. I didn't think we defended them well enough. They're very hard to stop when they get momentum. You know, they're big men. I feel like we prepared well. We got beaten up the first 30 minutes. And when they get their tails up like that, you know, you end up giving away a bit of space to the guys like Teddy Dama.
We weren't as clinical as we could have been, and we knew we came up against a fantastic set piece and breakdown, and in big games you need to be at your best, and if we were totally outplayed and didn't create opportunities, I'd be a worried man. But incredibly proud of the team and the way they kept their heads. We stuck to our plan, and I thought we got a bit of ascendancy in the second half, and I thought the last 10 minutes we created multiple opportunities, and like I said, unfortunately the clock caught us.
I just heard Peter Omani there say he'd been beaten up. I mean, how many times, Emma, do you hear somebody like Peter Omani, a Munster player, say they were beaten up?
I don't think I've actually ever heard them say that. And their start surprised me, and perhaps it surprised the players as well in terms of how physical Racing were. Munster, you believe that they're going to be dominating physically in any game that they play, especially at Tokeman Park. But when it comes to a knockout game with everything on the line, you don't expect them to be second best.
Teddy Thomas scored two semi-final tries for Racing, handed a third, of course, to captain Maxime Machinot over the try line, a performance that didn't surprise his teammate, Joe Rokothoko.
I think it's been coming from, I think, this opportunity of him playing top rugby. You know, he's been unlucky with injuries, and the last year or so, he's just grown mentally strong in his own performance. And us as players, we try to encourage him not to be settled of his own performance, but try to improve and get better each game. And he's taken that in. And we just show the growth of confidence, and that comes down to the selection of the coaches that have given him.
Joe Rokothoko, Tom May, Munster had 77% territory. They had 69% possession. So if you're Leinster, you're seeing just how little ball Racing had, and yet they blew them away.
Yeah, I think also you're seeing how good the defensive system of Racing is. Across the top 14, before the last but one round, they'd only conceded just over 40 tries throughout the whole of the top 14. So that's a good defensive system. I think we mentioned in the last pod about how they're dynamic up front, their front five, they get off the floor, they get back into the defensive line. And that's what that stat shows for me. It's a full reflection on how hard these guys work in a defensive system to try and keep other teams out. Flip down its head, and you've actually got teams that, you know, on the back of battering other sides up front, you've got the likes of Teddy Thomas. You know, if you've got Joe Rokothoko, you've got Mark Andrew, Juan Imhoff and Teddy Thomas, you've got to make a choice. Imhoff played brilliantly.
Imhoff's on the bench most of the time
And he played brilliantly at the weekend. So, you know, let's see what back three they choose this weekend.
Well, next we'll preview the big one, the European Rugby Champions Cup final, when you'll hear from the former Leinster head coach, Matt O'Connor.
Hi, I'm Ronan O'Gara, and you're listening to the EPCR European Rugby Show.
Right then, to the final, Saturday, May the 12th, Racing 92 against Leinster at the San Mamés Stadium in Bilbao. It's a 4:45 kickoff BST at 5:45 kickoff local time. So, guys, everybody expects Leinster to win this. Tom, give me a reason why they won't.
Racing's defensive system will again be amazing, and Nakarawa and Vakatawa will be outstanding, and Teddy Thomas will run in two tries. So that'll be the reason they don't.
Are they as fit as Leinster?
They're probably not, but I think they can get away with it, because if you look down through their squad, the people that they can bring on, they've got wall-to-wall internationals. Now, I know that's the same for Leinster, but you know, when you can bring on the likes of Dan Carter, I think that makes a big difference in tight moments of games.
Because, Emma, when you look at the way Racing have won their games, they build a lead, don't they? And they score tries out of nothing. But you don't see them in a slugfest in the kind of 75th, 80th minute of a game trying to grind it out. And if they're not too careful against Leinster, they could get blown away themselves.
They could. They have to dictate that first quarter, or at least aim to dictate that first quarter, be in it at half-time. And we might have to see a different side of Racing in this final, and we might have to see them do exactly what you've just said, that we've not seen them do before. Then it's a real test of their mettle, and then we potentially see the international quality coming off the bench and who can change a game for them to win it.
I think in moments like that as well, you would want someone like Dan Carter to come on and manage a game. I think this is also a point in time when you should also mention that without Machinot, he is a game manager.
Well, let's come on to the Machinot point, because it's huge that he's missing.
I was working on the game that he got injured in, and I just, you know, he tried to belt a massive Fijian that was running towards him, and you just thought, you know, when you've got those big games coming out, I know you can't protect yourself, but, you know, if there's one guy you didn't want to lose from that Racing side, it would be Machinot, because he's just been brilliant for them.
And according to the figures, Emma, Machinot's kicked virtually everything. Neither Lamy nor Carter have kicked a single point in the Champions Cup so far.
Yeah, exactly. Machinot has scored 85 of Racing's 183 points, so it just shows how important he's been. And also his game management from scrum half as well. He's your typical French petit général. He leads them about the field a little bit more than their 10 in some of the matches, and his loss is huge.
I think Teddy Iribarren, though, coming in at 9, he has a massive opportunity here to stamp his name in European history, really, because he's got an opportunity. Everyone's going to be saying, oh, Racing will miss not having Machinot. He's a good player. He's a great player. He's quick around the breakdown. He tries to inject pace into the game, plays the game slightly differently to Machinot, and that's got to be, I guess, managed in a way by either Lambie or Carter, but he'll be an exciting addition to that Racing side.
Let's talk about one of their strengths, the offloading game, which they use Nakarawa for so much. He is so pivotal to that game of theirs, that game plan. If you're Leinster, though, you're bound to use the choke tackle on it, aren't you, to try and slow him down? Because if you can slow down Nakarawa, you can completely leave their attacking game and leave it to shreds.
I think you're right, but the if is the question. I don't think I've seen many sides manage to... I mean, you would have to try and stop him, ball and all.
What's the best way to stop Nakarawa?
When you're someone my size, you just can't. Because if you're ankle biting, then, you know, he can just get his hands through the tackle. But that said, I've seen him get absolutely smashed in collisions, and somehow he still gets the ball away. His dexterity, you know, his ability to hold the ball in one hand, whichever hand it is, he's difficult to try and defend against. And whether that's him going on the front foot, or if he does get smashed and there's two or three piling into him, he can still get the ball away basketball style, and the point of attack shifts to somewhere else. So it's a good addition for them to have.
And it's not just him that can do that as well. Vakatara, we saw in the semi-final setting up Thomas, and he's got those hands. So you've got a double threat. I mean, how do you contain both of them? Can you?
Yeah, I think it's difficult. They are starting to understand how to run off those two players. It's difficult to play with players like that when you can't quite read exactly what they're going to do. Sonny Bill Williams is a case in point. When he was at Toulon, he was no one really knew him as much as they do now. And actually, some of the offloading ability that he had took players by surprise. Certainly took me by surprise a couple of times. But you see the likes of Thelma, Dupichot, and Chavancy running really intelligent angles off those players, especially Vakatawa.
But you criticise rightly Scarlets for not having a plan B. Do Racing have a plan B if the offloading game comes to nothing?
Well, I think that their game managers are probably slightly better versed in that plan B in terms of the managing the game, the territorial battle. Lambie and Carter have got great understanding about how to do that. You know, that's not taking anything away from the Scarlets' tens, but I think they're just trying to, you know, get to that point. I'm really, really excited about this game. I think everyone's going to be thinking Leinster have got this. I think Racing will be chomping at the bit.
Emma, what are Racing's fans saying on social media?
Well, Pat has been in touch with us on Facebook. I think she actually might be a Munster fan, but she's backing Racing 92 anyway. She thinks they're going to win by 5 and that Donica Ryan is going to be hugely influential in that match. And don't forget to keep in touch with us, European Rugby Champions Cup on Facebook and at Champions Cup on Twitter.
Now, either Racing's Laurent Travers or Leo Cullen of Leinster will become the first man to win the European Cup as a player and as a head coach. But for Cullen, how does coaching Leinster compare to being the skipper and taking them to European glory?
Physically, it's a bit easier coaching. mentally, it's a hell of a lot easier playing. They're worlds apart, really. But they're a great bunch to work with at the moment. They were a great bunch to play with as well. So for us now, it's concentrate on the process of how we go about preparing to give ourselves the best chance. But it's a great challenge. Finding Spain, it's unusual. It'll be a special day, we hope. But we need just to do everything we can to give ourselves the best chance.
Well, let's get a view now from someone who's prepared a team to face Racing twice this season in the pool stage of the Champions Cup. The Leicester Tigers head coach, Matt O'Connor. He used to hold that position at Leinster and gave Cullen his first job in coaching. So, with the Irish province back in the final for the first time since 2012, does O'Connor think that Cullen has masterminded something special in Dublin?
Yeah, I don't know if he's masterminded, to be honest. I think, you know, what they are doing is playing a fantastic brand of rugby with a really good squad. He's got some great leaders in Johnny Sexton and Issa, and you know, the youth and the energy is feeding off that. And you know, they've been phenomenal. I think the hurt of two semi-final losses last year is really driving that group. And I think, you know, with the injuries that Racing have had in the last couple of weeks, I think Leinster should be too good for him.
And what could you see in him? I mean, you had him as a player, turned forwards coach. You saw that potential. What was it about him which you thought you could see going forward as a good coach?
Oh, he was always going to be successful. He's a fantastic character. You know, he was responsible for largely driving that environment when he was a player and making sure that everybody worked as hard as they could to be as good as they could. And they're quite fortunate that they've got a lot of really good kids in Dublin. And you know, they foster that talent and they develop that talent. They've got the best academy structure I've come across in the professional game. They it's seamless across their academy and their first team. And you see that every time guys step up and play first team rugby, that they certainly believe that they're a part of it and feel that they're a part of it, and that comes across in the performance.
What's his style? Is he quiet? Is he unassuming? He still gets that message across, obviously, but what's the way he coaches?
Oh, I mean, Leo's and he was the same as a captain, and you know, my experience with him as a coach was it was all about empowering the players and making sure that he worked with them to get the best out of them. He's very much hand in hand with those guys and trying to certainly impart his knowledge, which is vast. It was always, come on, let's do this together approach, and I think that's been a huge part of the success in recent years.
And what do you make of the way he and Stuart Lancaster have come together and forged what is an incredible partnership?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing really well. I mean, it's hard to know without being in the environment, but I think, you know, what they are doing is, you know, they're feeding off each other really well. And you know, Stuart's an experienced guy. You know, he hasn't been at club level for very long, but he's certainly been around. He's been involved in, you know, elite development. He's been involved at academy level and he's been involved internationally. So that experience is huge for Leo, and I think, you know, they're doing some really good things.
And in Racing, aside, you've played this season, what can they expect?
I think what we saw in the first 30 minutes, if you're not incredibly accurate defensively, they've got a lot of points in them. And you know, I think that's probably been the best aspect of Leinster's play this year, the pool stages against Exeter, the semi-final and the quarter-final. You know, the quarter-final against Saracens, they were immense defensively, and the same in the semi-final. And yeah, I think if they can bring that energy, you know, I think they should be okay with those key injuries that Racing have suffered.
And in Racing, where do you think they are dangerous? Because it's so difficult to kind of know what comes with Racing. They were kind of sluggish in the pool stages and started to come to life. What do you think is the identity of Racing?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Mashimo's huge, and you know, his injury will be very, very significant. Not that the rest of their halfbacks aren't good, but he's a different level for me. He was immense, and I mean, they just have the ability to go through the gears very, very quickly and score points. And you know, that's the away game in France. You know, we were pretty comfortable for large parts of it, but they scored, mate, three tries in the blink of an eye and changed the nature of the game. And Leinster will have to make sure that they're a little bit more accurate and that they bring that defensive energy that they've showed throughout the tournament.
They suffer from not playing the full 80 minutes at times, Racing, but they have the ability to just switch it on at a moment's notice, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a little bit indicative of the way that the French league is that it rumbles along and rumbles on, and then there's, you know, moments of excitement. And, you know, if you can manage those moments of excitement and significantly reduce the number of them, then you're a chance to stay in the game. And I think that's what Leinster will do. They've played a lot of knockout rugby. They've played a lot against big French sides. So, you know, that they will be well in adept at understanding what they've got to deliver, and I'd be pretty surprised if they don't deliver it this time around.
And just finally, you've been in that coaching cauldron at Leinster when you know how important it means to the fan base, to everyone back in Ireland, back in Dublin. When the big moments come, what is it like to be in Leinster, in the beating heart of that team?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic environment. You know, it's as I said there, the academy all the way through to the first team and the fans and what goes with Dublin, the vibe's fantastic. And I think, you know, they've waited a little bit to get to another final and on the, you know, premier competition of the season. And I'd be very surprised if they don't lift the trophy.
Great to hear the thoughts of Matt O'Connor there. Yeah, it's been 6 years, Tom, since Leinster have been in a final. I had to stop and check that. I couldn't believe it.
they've messed up a couple of times, haven't they, within the competitions, and they'll be really disappointed. You heard Matt O'Connor there reference, you know, the hurt that they would be feeling from last year, and I think that, you know, it's almost that period of time where they've missed out on those finals. This is now their opportunity to get back to where they feel they should be.
And they're unbelievably accurate. There's no better team, really, when it comes to getting into that red zone. How do they do that? How do they constantly achieve the ability just to not make any mistakes when the pressure's really on?
I think it's just understanding exactly what you're trying to do. If you have a good understanding of your individual roles and how that fits into the wider system that you're trying to employ, then I think it's not easy by any stretch of imagination, but it becomes a lot easier to try and, you know, you've got a reference point, you know in the back of your mind what your map of your system is, and you've got that to refer to. So, and especially when you've got the likes of Sexton and Nathiwa just pushing the ball around and saying, right, well, if we stay here, then we can try and access this area for try and work a penalty, or, you know, then we can try and whip the ball wide and go and attack somewhere else. So I think they've got an understanding of where they're strong, but if you've got that system to refer back to, you're always in a good place.
And on the Fewa, Emma, I mean, he's been so crucial to that team for so long. Obviously, there's a lot of emotion riding. It's going to be his final season, but I mean, look back at his career. He's just been phenomenal.
He's been outstanding, and if you've watched him over last season and this season as well, personally, I've thought he looks like he's getting better, even though he's clearly in the twilight of his career. And I remember speaking to him on the launch day at the start of this season, and you could just tell the passion that he has for this competition, the passion that he has for Leinster, and how much it means to him to finish the season with the fourth star on that jersey. And that was on day one, before a ball had been kicked, before a ball had been thrown. And he'll be feeling that again.
Tom, how do you shut them down? Their attack is so deceptive. You can't really predict where they're going. I mean, a lot said about the Sexton loop, and you know that's coming. I suppose that's one part of it. But you can't really, if you're the defence coach of Racing this week, how do you shut them down defensively?
Win the collisions. Do exactly what you did against Munster. You know, if they felt like they were beaten up and they have held their hands up and said, we got beaten up, then they need to do exactly the same to Leinster this weekend. Whether that be in the ruck and in the maul, or whether that be in the defensive collisions, they need to smash into Leinster. Don't allow any of their decent players, well, say any of their decent players, they're all decent, but, you know, any of their good world-class players like Sexton and Nathiwa, don't allow them any time on the ball, because when they've got time on the ball, they can just pull defenders in and out of positions and just push the ball into the space that's left behind.
But their running lines and attack are just sublime, aren't they?
Yeah, I think some of Leinster's attacking play is, I mean, you could almost say it's old school. Because there's a lot of wide backs, outside centres, wingers and fullbacks that have, I guess, not run those intelligent lines that we saw sort of, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. But, you know, I think now that the likes of Carney, Ringrose runs some great lines, you know, see some really intelligent rugby. And, you know, you hold your hands up and you say, right, you know they're going to do this run around. And you know they're going to get the ball back off 12. Okay, we're trying to stop.
Well, I was going to say, you've still got to stop, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. They've just got options to go. They know exactly everyone that gets hold of that ball or is a running line in and around that ball is a threat, and they're a genuine option.
And as a player, when you've played in these big moments, can you tell what's coming? Often when we're watching on telly, you can see the call being done, the hand over the face to try and make sure the opposition can't see it or can't hear it. But can you tell what's coming?
You do enough analysis during the week to think, well, during in this part of the field, then they might well do the runaround. but then, you know, as I say, you've got to be able to stop those things. And when you've got good players making good decisions and running good lines and attacking and you know, what you call sitting defenders down on their heels, meaning that they're both planted, then that defender is dead, which means the ball goes elsewhere. With great players like Sexton, they have the ability to have that ball in hand, see what the defender that they're being defended by is doing, what the outside defender is doing, and then pushing the ball into the third space that's open.
So does blitz or drift defence work best against Leinster?
I think you have to try and blitz them a bit. But if they get out wide, then you have to make good decisions when you're out on those wings. If you come in for man and ball, you have to make sure you get your man and ball, otherwise they're gone. But then if you're too soft and you just shepherd them out wide, then that's where the running lines coming back against the grain would really work.
Emma, there's going to be a huge contingent of Leinster fans out in Bilbao this weekend. And they've already been busy on social media, haven't they?
Very busy. And these Leinster fans, I mean, they've got every right to feel positive because Leinster have never lost a European Cup final that they've played in. And this weekend, if they are victorious, then they're going to equal Toulouse's record and lift the trophy, obviously for a fourth time. Richard's been in touch with us on Facebook, and here's what he has to say. He says, Leinster are as a complete aside as Saracens were a couple of years ago. No apparent weakness, extraordinary control, utterly relentless, and a whole arsenal of attacking options. Racing are a thrilling team, but I feel they will have to perform at 110% for 80 minutes from 1 to 23 to stay with Leinster. And Niall, who's a Munster fan, he's putting aside his provincial colours, and he said, as a red-tinted Munster fan, it's very difficult not to be outrageously impressed with Leinster this season. Scarlets didn't test them. Leinster never got out of second gear. Now, I've got a little quiz for you both. Are you ready for this?
You've got a look of resignation on your face.
Okay. So this weekend, Dan Carter is potentially one of a trio of Racing 92 players that could do the Champions Cup and Super Rugby double. There's also one Leinster player which could do the same thing should Leinster win. Can you name them as a starter for 10? So three Racing players or once... Yes.
Rockefeller.
Yes.
I cannot let you get this, Burridge.
Can James get the Leinster player? And we might do bonus points for who they won Super Rugby with.
It's not in the favour.
It's not in the favour. He played in the semi-final.
Scott Fardy.
It's not Scott Fardy.
Oh, God, that's a good guess. I would have gone with Fardy.
Was it a bad guess in the end. I don't know. Give up.
He's not a forward. He's a scrum half.
Oh.
Jamison Gibson Park.
Yeah. Okay.
So, well, I did brilliantly on that, didn't I?
I like to throw in a quiz on occasion. Yeah,
that's quite a good little quiz, that.
It was a good quiz.
Yeah.
I was rubbish.
Good
at
to
it.
Come out on top.
Not that you're competitive or anything, Tom.
No.
The week is early. let's get your predictions then, Tom May, ahead of this one.
I think it's really difficult to go anywhere else but Leinster, but I just got a feeling I'll go with Leinster, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
Emma?
Yeah, 4-star for Leinster.
Don't forget, it is at the San Mamés Stadium in Bilbao this Saturday, 4:45 kickoff British Summer Time, 5:45 kickoff local time on BT Sport 2, Sky Sports Action and beIN Sports, as well as FR2. And with more than 950,000 fans already through the Champions Cup turnstiles this season, the total tournament attendance for 17-18 will pass the 1 million mark in Bilbao, which is quite an achievement. Now, don't forget, you'll be able to check out highlights of the final via championscuprugby.com, and next we'll preview the Challenge Cup final.
I'm Dylan Hartley, you're listening to the EPCR European Rugby Show.
It's the EPCR European Rugby Show with James Burridge, Tom May and Emma Thurston. Still to come, Champions Cup final winning memories from Stefan Armitage. But next we'll preview the European Rugby Challenge Cup final, Friday the 11th of May in Bilbao for Cardiff against Gloucester. Just a reminder, Cardiff beat Poe in a terrific match in the first semi-final, 16 points to 10. And then Gloucester overcame Newcastle 33-12. Tom May, Newcastle probably had their ambitions maybe on the Premiership, who knows, but I didn't see Gloucester winning as comprehensively as that, even though they were at home.
Newcastle obviously went on the road and won down there earlier this year and fancied their chances. They stuck with the strategy that they've had all year in playing English EQP players. But yeah, I think Gloucester are really strong in this competition, and they know what they need to do at this stage of the competition, and they you know, deservedly won that game.
Well, earlier today, Emma caught up with Henry Trinder, who says there's a buzz in the Gloucester camp.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, it's always good to have something to look forward to at the end of the season, and to finish off with some silverware would be really good. It's what we all want here. It's what we've been building towards in the European campaign, and fingers crossed that if we can pitch up and get that, that would be sort of a dream come true, really. Cardiff, they're a tough team, and they've got quality across their whole team, and we know that we have to really turn up and be at our best if we're going to win it against them.
How do you manage the emotion of a final week, knowing that 80 minutes on Friday night, there may be a trophy in your hands at the end of it?
It's obviously a balance. I mean, you're excited for the whole week's build-up, but it's very key not to get over-stimulated and sort of turn up and either be over the hill or under the hill. So it's a tough balance to get right. I mean, we've got fantastic coaches and conditioning staff that can prepare you for that. And I think come Friday night, everyone will just be looking forward to going out there and giving it sort of it all on our last game of the season.
From a personal point of view, obviously, you've come through a difficult period injury-wise. Are you feeling sharper than you ever have? How much are you relishing being out there?
I'm loving it. I mean, it's been a tough few seasons, and to get a full season under my belt has been fantastic, and it's great for me to bounce back and be able to do that. That's why sort of everyone that's injured does all the rehab to get back into play. And I've enjoyed the season, and if I can help the guys and the club bring some silverware back at the end of it, that would sort of be a real high for me and also for the team. So I've enjoyed the season, but it'll be even better if we get some silverware.
Will there be a few nerves for you on Friday night running out in the final?
Yeah. I mean, it's what you sort of you want to be playing and you want to be playing in the finals. We know as a team it'll be a very, very tough task. There'll always be nerves to turn up and running out and all of that. But we really do need to be on song to beat a really, really strong Cardiff team. So fingers crossed we can turn up and we can sort the nerves out and play our game.
And just looking at Cardiff Blues, what have you deduced from their campaign? What are you expecting from them in Bilbao?
They've got a bit of everything. They're very physical. They play territory really well. They've got a good set piece game as well. So they've come into some good form sort of end of the season, and we really have to be switched on to beat them. We just need to sort of settle down from the disappointing weeks that we've had running up to this. We need a good start. We can't give a quality team like Cardiff a head start or a foothold in the game. So fingers crossed we can sort of compose ourselves in the first 20, 30 minutes of the game and give them a good fight.
And this time last season, there was a Challenge Cup final for Gloucester. Obviously, since then, Johan Ackerman has arrived as your head coach. And for those of us that aren't coached by him, what's he like around the camp, and what's his style? Give us a little bit of flavour about him.
He's a great guy. He's come in, he's very personal. He wants to know your family. He does concentrate a lot, which surprised me, on the off-field stuff. It's fantastic to see that he really does care about his players and his staff and what Club Gloucester is. And I think he's given us a sort of a platform and a style of rugby that he really wants to play. And I think because the guys want to play for him and respect him, we've grabbed that with both hands and we ran with it. And early beginning of the season, we were successful off the back of that. So I think it'll be a good way to mark his first season as the Gloucester coach with some silverware. And I think the whole squad and himself and everyone who's bought into this year's campaign, it'll be a real nice way to finish off.
Couple of tries for you on Friday night then, Henry?
I don't really care. If we win by a point, I'll be happy. So whether I get tries or not, it'll be great to get some silverware. And if I get some tries as well, it'll be fantastic. But as long as we win, I don't mind.
Great to hear from Henry Trinder, though. He's had a rough old season. But when he's backfiring, Tom, he really is crucial to Gloucester, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just a good rugby player. We talk about intelligent lines that are being run in the Champions Cup final. He is a player that can see spaces opening up before they even have, and he has the pace to try and expose those as well. He's a good, intelligent rugby player.
Let's get the Cardiff perspective then. Delighted to say we can speak to the Blues defence coach, Richard Hodges. Richard, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
You know.
Give us the mood then in the camp right now, because it's a massive moment for Cardiff too.
Yeah, correct it is. I think we've obviously had a very different build-up to Gloucester. We had a couple of days training last week with no game on the weekend, and then we've been in Sunday, Monday, and we've got tomorrow off. And then I think certainly within the squad, within the staff, there's a huge level of excitement building for Friday night. The first final that the club's been in for 7 or 8 years, and I think there's a big following going out to Bilbao. And I think, as I said, we've dotted some I's and crossed some T's today, so we just want to get on with it now.
With regards to Cardiff and their preparation, compare that to Gloucester. They got thumped at Saracens at the weekend. Now, is it better to have a weekend off, or is it better to, I guess, go into a game like Gloucester had, albeit a different competition, and get the result they had?
Yeah, I'd rather have the weekend off than the thumping. I think it's pretty clear by Gloucester's team selection, and obviously not many teams go down to Saracens. They get much change at the moment, but they clearly rested some individuals ready for this week, and some boys not even in the 23. So I think that they certainly had an eye on this week as well. You can argue either way; they'll be going in a little bit battle hardened, but we're coming to like week 30 something of the season now, so if we're not going to be ready by Friday night, we never are.
And how do you defend the likes of Trinder, Purdy and Woodward? Because they've been great players for Gloucester throughout the season. They're really attacking players and big threats for them. How are you going to try and stop those this weekend?
I'll be honest, it's been the toughest game of the season to get together in terms of the preview, because now we're stepping outside of the Pro 14. We come up against a very different attacking style. And in our league, if the only team you can liken them to is probably the Southern Kings. Gloucester are a much improved version of them, because they really do just play from absolutely everywhere. And the fact that they've got what we term the 3-10s, so you've got Billy Burns at 10, 12 trees, and Mark Atkinson in the centre. And then if you've got Marshall, who's a fullback on the right edge, and you've got Henry Trinder, who's a 13 on the left edge, and then you've got who is Gloucester's best player, Woodward at 15. So we think they've got a very distinct style about them. They kick the ball the least in the English league, but they get turned over the most. So it's going to really be a test for our frontline defence, which has held us in good stead so far in this competition.
Richard, tell us about Jared Evans, because for me, he's been one of the players of the season. I think he's only 21, isn't he? So he's got a huge future ahead of him, and he's just a terrific 10 to watch. He's quick, he can be explosive, but he loves getting the ball wide as well.
Yeah, Jared's a hell of a talent. I mean, we've had him in the system. I came through as academy manager when he joined us at 16, so I've known him for a period of time now. And Jared's probably had a bit of an Achilles heel with regards to his kicking game and his game management over the previous season or two. But he's gone away and he's worked very diligently and very hard at that. And Nicky Robinson coming in this year has been a real plus for him in the amount of time they've spent together. And his kicking game has improved, but it's improved because he's played week upon week. There's no magic formula for it. He's just managed to get more and more minutes under his belt and being exposed at a higher level. So he's managed to adapt in time, and he's been a huge player for us this year. And the competition between him and Gareth Anscombe at 10 is something which is always a weekly debate in selection. Obviously, Jared's played at 10 over the last couple of weeks, and Gareth was there against the Ospreys and had a fantastic game in Judgment Day last week. So tough call selection-wise, but Gareth can obviously play fullback as well. But what you get with Jared is a very distinctive running game. It's like the old-style Welsh 10. He's very, very powerful in the gym, and that transfers itself onto the field as well. Very strong lower body strength. So he gets his fend going, and he can break through fairly passive tackles if they present themselves. And he's just got a very good short-kicking game as well, which you'll have seen from the Edinburgh game, in particular in the quarter-final, was probably the difference between the two sides.
What's been the difference recently? Because the start of the season just didn't click, did it?
No, it didn't. And obviously, Danny announced his intention to leave at the end of the season as well. And Matt Sherritt then went likewise as well. So that, in a strange way, has galvanised the squad. Two things, I think, have happened. One is we've got our best players back on the pitch. So again, it's no magic formula. But the likes of Ellis Jenkins and Gareth Anscombe coming back to fitness has been a huge plus for us. And every single game Ellis has started the season, we've ended up winning. And he's been a huge important part of the wheel for us there. And the second thing is we've got probably the closest bunch of players that we've ever had in Cardiff Blues. There are a huge amount of them. Seb Davis, Jared Evans, Owen Lanes have all come through the system together, and they're all best mates. So they spend all their downtime together, and truly believe that your defence is a reflection of the unity and the team spirit that you've got within your squad. And I think that the way that the boys are, and the tightness and togetherness that they have as friends as well as players, is what's got us to this final.
And just a final one, Richard, on Gethin Jenkins, because if he plays, he'll become the first to captain two Challenge Cup winning sides, obviously the one back in 2010 as well. So what kind of shape is he in, his fitness right now? It would be a remarkable story.
Well, if you speak to the majority of the players in the Blues squad, they'll say that he's the best player they've ever played with or played against. And I think that's a huge testament to him. He's the first one in the morning. He's the last one out at the end of the day. He's straight off the pitch and doing his old rehab and prehab. And there's just life in him yet. And delighted that he's signed for another year next season, because he is the headmaster of that playing group, and he sets the standards, and he's very quick to jump on people who may fall below those standards, or if they fall below them. But likewise as well, they'll praise the boys. And he's a great role model for the youngsters who are coming through. And he's been there, seen it, done it, and he's a massive part of our playing environment at the Vale, on and off the field. And I just sincerely hope that we can get the win on Friday night for him.
Richard, great to have you on the pod. Thanks very much indeed. We'll see you in Bilbao, and best of luck.
Cheers, Paul. Bye.
Richard Hodges there, the defence coach at Cardiff Blues. The romantic would probably like Cardiff to win, Tom, just because they've had an incredible season. It didn't start well. He's alluded to a very honest interview there from Richard Hodges.
Yeah, I think both teams, both Gloucester and Cardiff, can look at some inconsistencies that they've had throughout the season. But to be in this position with an opportunity to win silverware is what all teams want to have at the end of a season, something to play for. And I think you can hear how focused Cardiff are through the messages that Richard was giving then. And I think, you know, they're clearly excited about the opportunity of getting stuck into Gloucester.
Quick prediction, Emma.
Oh, this is a really tough one to call. Personally, I'm going to look at Cardiff Blues. I think given their form over the course of the season and building into this game, I think they're ready to take this one.
And Tom, you played in that last final against them, didn't you, back in 2010 for Toulon?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Wasn't your centre partner Sonny Bill?
Yeah, I've got an amazing photo where I look like a newborn child. I'm stood next to him, my head's about his waist height. He was playing that game and we were doing pretty well actually until I think it was about half time, and you know, we were well up. But actually on a baking hot day in Marseille, Velodrome was pumping, we just took our foot off the gas and deservedly lost. And you know, that will be an amazing feat for Gethin Jenkins, you know, as you mentioned. I just think this weekend they might struggle. I think Gloucester will win this weekend.
And the weather, Emma, I mean, it's looking fairly mixed. Friday looks nice, but Saturday looks colder than
it
I was
does.
Expecting, if I'm
well,
honest.
I've gone all Michael Fish on us for the past week or so. I've been keeping an eye on this and not just on my iPhone. So currently, it's supposed to be 23 degrees on Friday with sunshine, which is fabulous.
Yeah, well, Tom will love that. You know how much he likes to top
up. I can
up
also
town.
Tell you it's just gone up by 1 degree.
Excellent. So Tom will get even more sunburn. And then on Saturday, it's 14 and rain.
And that's also just gone down by one. Still raining up.
So basically, we're going to have to pack all forms of clothes, and the two finals are going to potentially be played in very separate conditions, which will be quite interesting.
So Cardiff Blues against Gloucester then this Friday night in Bilbao, 9 p.m. local time, 8 p.m. BST. It's on BT Sport 2, Sky Sports Action, BN Sports and FR Cat. Now, don't forget that finals weekend is about three finals, not two, with the European Rugby Continental Shield final, which will be contested by the defending champions Yenisei STM of Russia and the German side Heidelberger RK. And the Continental Shield helps continue the development of rugby across Europe. And the final will take place on Saturday in Getxo, which is just north of Bilbao.
So kickoff is at 12 p.m. local time on Saturday in Getxo, as you mentioned, James. It's going to be streamed live on the European Rugby Challenge Cup Facebook page, so make sure that you check it out.
Now, a reminder, we have three more podcasts for you from Bilbao. Thursday, key figures from Gloucester and Cardiff speak ahead of the Challenge Cup final. Plus, Gloucester's director of rugby, David Humphreys, gives us his memories of winning the Champions Cup with Ulster. Friday, we'll bring you a flavour of what Racing 92 and Leinster say ahead of the Champions Cup final. Plus, we'll have a profile of Leinster's head coach, Leo Cullen. And our last podcast of the season will be after the Champions Cup final with reaction from key players and special guests.
Next is my favourite bit of the show.
I'm Issa Nasiwa, and I'll be playing fantasy rugby on championscuprugby.com.
So, obviously, I gave you guys a couple of hints and tips before the semi-finals. Did either of you use your wild card?
Didn't need to.
James?
You forgot again, didn't you?
Well, it's not so much that. One thing I want to talk to you about is because I switched to Machinot, and now he's injured.
So you can make changes again. You can make five transfers before the final, so he can be one of your transfers.
Right, because he's going to be... he would have been invaluable, I think.
He would. I mean, he probably would have been the
be
one
slightly
that you...
less valuable now.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Racing fan, you'll be gutted that he's not there. But Nakarawa is consistently getting me points, so I can't really complain on that score.
I would love to say that he's not in my team, but he is. So every point that you're getting,
Nakarawa,
I'm also getting.
Have you got Ringrose in your centres?
No, I think I've probably got someone else.
Not that you're at all pressed by.
Yeah.
Bakatara?
No, I have got him in my side, yeah.
Useful, useful. And Teddy Thomas?
Yes, I do, actually.
Okay, well,
I think your side had quite a French feel, didn't it, in terms of look and feel.
Because what's the budget again?
No, but I think I forgot to change mine in the semi-finals.
Yeah, it's poor.
So check out all of the classic fantasy rugby rules at championscuprugby.com. And don't forget that there's daily fantasy rugby that you can use over finals week. And that's any seven players that are taking part on a particular match day. You've got no restrictions and there's no budget limit, irrespective of positions or clubs. Your captain will be double points. Forwards tries score more.
Now, don't forget the new app, the official EPCR Fantasy app, is available in English and French at Google Play and Apple's App Store. It's James Burridge, Tom May and Emma Thurston with you on the EPCR European Rugby Show. And a reminder that you can vote now at championscuprugby.com for the European Rugby Player of the Year 2018, presented by Turkish Airlines. Now we're down to a shortlist of five. Scott Fardy, Tag Furlong, Johnny Sexton of Leinster, Maxime Machinot and Leonie Nakarawa of Racing. And of course, Machinot is going to be missing the final because of the injury. Kieran Darcy has been in touch on Facebook to say, I'm gutted for the man. He's been such a classy player and will be a huge loss for Racing. Tom, your thoughts then on that final five?
Well, to be honest, if a prop wins the player of the season, I think you know, you've got a real sign of what an influence he's had on his own side. So Tag Furlong, I think if he has a big game, he'd be in with a shout. Scott Fardy's been brilliant. For me, I don't think Machinot will get it now that he's injured. For me, it's between Johnny Sexton and Nakarawa this weekend.
For me, it's got to be Nakarawa. Emma, how can people vote?
People can make their choice at championscuprugby.com, and voting will remain open until the end of the Champions Cup final on Saturday evening. By voting, you could be in with a chance of winning €1,500 worth of Turkish Airlines flights.
And as was the case in selecting the final shortlist of five, the 2018 EPCR European Rugby Player of the Year, presented by Turkish Airlines, will be decided by a combination of the public vote and the views of the judging panel. And the winning player will receive the Anthony Foley Memorial Trophy, a specially struck commemorative medal, and 1 million air miles. 1 million air miles?
Yeah, 1 million.
Wow.
That is astonishingly a good prize, courtesy of Turkish Airlines. You can find details of the expert panel on championscuprugby.com, and that's also where you can cast your vote. Now, in the build-up to finals weekend, we've been hearing from some of those who've already tasted victory in the Champions Cup. Stefan Armitage did that three times as part of a star-studded Toulon side that claimed a remarkable hat-trick of wins in 2013, 14 and 15.
Do you know, I still don't think it's really sunk in, to be honest, because it's just a weird feeling. Like, I've got all the medals and stuff at home, and I've actually packed them away, because in a way I want to look back on it later on, like, I'll just be surprised and just, you know. It is a big deal, though. It is a massive deal, because we've enjoyed every minute of that. I got to play with some of amazing players and players I looked up when I was younger. Like, I used to watch them on TV, so it's kind of weird, you know, like Carl Heyman, Andy Williams, you know, those kind of Joe Vinnie Kirk, Johnny. It's just, those are memories that will stick with me for the rest of my life, and I'll just never forget it. With the players we had, I think we owed it to ourselves and we owed it to everyone else to show them that, obviously at that point they were calling us mercenaries and things like that, but actually we love playing rugby, we love playing rugby together, and I mean, that gave us the will to want to do it again, and especially to make history that no other team's done it three times in a row. That was a big push, and I think you could see that everyone really wanted it, and in our head we thought, this is our competition, we should change the name, we should call it the Toulon competition, because at the end of the day, it was our cup, we had it, and we didn't want to give it up, so we owed it to ourselves to go out there and, you know, to go out there and give everything we had. Everyone was on the same page, and came to the finals, and we thought, hey, if we get there, we get to the finals, no one's going to stop us, and that's what we did. We just we went out there and just gave everything we had. Our group was so tight that we loved playing for each other. Also, we had like good coaches, Bernard Laporte, you know, Neves, quite straightforward guys, but also we knew we were all professional rugby players and we had a job to do. Our job was to win, and we wanted to win for the guys. Every year we had guys retiring and some guys leaving, so we always said, like, we're going out, boys, these are certain last game, or he's going to leave after being so long with us, and they've achieved so much for the club, we owe it to them. So in our head as well, we wanted to give that as a present by going out there and performing and making them leave with a memory that you don't really get very often.
Stefan Armitage and Tom May, that's exactly what the players will be thinking now. They've got, it sounds maybe a little trite and romantic, but actually they are going to be making memories in the next week. And in 5-6 years' time, they'll look back on this week, won't they?
That's what it's all about as professional sports people. You want to look back on the end of your career and think, well, you know, I've been in finals, I've won things. And I think that Toulon side were, you know, they're pretty exceptional. If you had to choose a Barbarian side, you'd pretty much be saying tomorrow, Bujalal, can I borrow your team? Because the likes of Gitto, Wilkinson, Heyman, Bakis Bota, you know, they were all top-class players and actually top of their performers in their relevant positions. And I think that's what made Toulon so strong over those 3 years in particular, in that, you know, they had that experience and that quality in each and every position.
For those of you heading to Bilbao this weekend, go to championscuprugby.com for some essential information about the area. Look for the Finals Bilbao 2018 tab at the top of the homepage and then click on the Basque Country link. You can find details about how to get to the stadium and how to navigate around Bilbao on public transport. There are suggestions of the best restaurants as well as some key places to visit while you're in the region. And there's one key destination for rugby fans in Bilbao apart from the San Mamés Stadium itself, Emma.
There is. It's the Champions Rugby Village, and that opens in El Arenal, Bilbao, on Thursday at 4 p.m. local time, and it will be open until Sunday at 4 p.m. At championscuprugby.com, there will be the opening times for each day, and there's plenty to do there, including different rugby games, a local market, a museum, and lots to eat and drink. So do check it out. And I know that one guy who will be going there will be Jeffrey, who's been in touch with us to say, I'll be there cheering on Leinster to win by at least 10 points on the basis of what they brought to Exeter Scarlets and Saracens. He thinks they're going to bamboozle Racing from various points of attack with forwards with brains and an unstoppable back line.
Now, a quick word about next season, because we now know most of the clubs who've qualified for the 2018-19 Champions Cup. With the regular season fixtures completed in the Aviva Premiership, Guinness Pro 14 and the Top 14, here are the qualifiers from the various domestic leagues. In the Aviva Premiership, Exeter Chiefs, Saracens, Wasps, Newcastle Falcons, Leicester Tigers and Bath.
From the Top 14, Montpellier, Racing 92, Toulouse, RC Toulon, Lyon, Castres Olympique, and the Guinness Pro 14 qualifiers are Glasgow Warriors, Leinster Rugby, Scarlets, Munster Rugby, Edinburgh Rugby, Cardiff Blues, and there will be a playoff between Ulster and the Ospreys for the seventh place, and that will be at the Kingspan Stadium on Sunday, the 20th of May.
And Gloucester, don't forget, they also qualified by reaching the Challenge Cup final, because both Champions Cup finalists, as well as Gloucester's opponents, Cardiff Blues, have all qualified by virtue of their respective league positions. Tom May, what's been the story then out of those teams that have qualified? Bath, perhaps, in the way they did it.
Yeah, I was going to say Bath sneaking in. For me, the one that stands out, obviously, one of my old clubs, Newcastle, I think, especially with the Champions Cup going to St James's Park next year, I think it's a great year for them to be involved in the Champions Cup. Look out for Toulouse next year. They're at the top end of the...
It's good to have them back, isn't
it? Yeah, brilliant. They're at the top end of the top 14 this season and battling out to win that. And also, from the Pro 14, I think it's interesting to see Richard Cockerell and Edinburgh back in there.
A reminder, the Pool Jewels will take place on Wednesday the 20th of June in Lausanne, which will be the new home of EPCR from the summer. We'll bring you a special podcast from Switzerland with reaction to the Pool Jewels, so look out for that.
This is the EPCR European Rugby Show with James Burridge, Tom May and Emma Thurston.
So don't miss a minute of the 2018 finals weekend in Bilbao.
Friday.
Finals weekend begins with Cardiff Blues against Gloucester Rugby in the European Rugby Challenge Cup final at Bilbao's wonderful San Mamés Stadium.
Kickoff is at 8 o'clock BST, 9 p.m. local time, and you can watch it on BT Sport 2, Sky Sports Action, BN Sports and FR4.
Saturday.
First up, it's the Continental Shield final between Yenisei STM of Russia and Heidelberger RK from Germany.
This takes place in Getcho and will kick off at 11 o'clock BST, 12 o'clock local time, and the match will be streamed live on the European Rugby Challenge Cup Facebook page.
Then it's the big one, the climax of a brilliant European club rugby season, the Champions Cup final at the San Mamés. Leinster of Ireland will look to equal Toulouse's record of 4 European Cup titles, but in their way, Racing 92 trying to win the Champions Cup for the very first time. This should be quite a match.
Kickoff is at 4:45 BST, 5:45 local time, and you can watch it on BT Sport 2, Sky Sports Action, BN Sports and FR2.
So, Emma, plenty of interest on social media. It is only going to intensify.
Across the entire week, and Ian has been in touch with us saying it's a hard decision who to support on each night. I think, though, it will be Gloucester and Leinster victories, though Racing are very good. And when you have Dan Carter on the bench, it's not that bad in terms of backup. And Manuel, he's also looked at Carter and he's actually said the result or the winner is least important. Just attending the last conversion or the last penalty of the legend Dan Carter in this tournament will be worth it.
And Tom, just a final thought from you. How nerve-wracking is this for a player?
Well, I haven't played in a Champions Cup final. I've played in a Challenge Cup final, and it is nerve-wracking. You know, you because you're 80 minutes away from making those memories. You know, I think you get too carried away by the result, and the performance goes awry. That the performance just completely degenerates if you get too focused on the outcome. So it's putting in those processes, those systems in place, and just sticking to what you've been practicing.
And Emma, it's a brand new stadium for all four teams. It's something to get used to.
It is something to get used to. I think it's going to be absolutely bouncing. Having been there, it's a glorious stadium and one which all of the sides are going to relish playing in. I can't wait. It's going to be a cracking weekend.
Well, that's all we've got time for on the EPCR European Rugby Show. Thank you to all our guests. Don't miss those massive matches across 2018 finals weekend in Bilbao. Go to championscuprugby.com for all the news and stats, match highlights, and to play fantasy rugby. Get your finals weekend thoughts across on social media, on Twitter, at Champions Cup and at ER Challenge Cup, or via the Champions Cup and Challenge Cup Facebook pages. Three more episodes of the EPCR European Rugby Show to come this week from Bilbao, so make sure you subscribe or download those via Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, and all the usual podcast places. But for now, from Tom May, Emma Thurston, and myself, James Burridge, it's adios. We'll see you in Bilbao.